And welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. I am Uncle Dennis, and there's more important information coming up, so please keep that pencil and recycled paper. We're going to get into our commentary like we do every week. This one's entitled, Genetically Engineered Tree Farms, the Final Solution to Global Deforestation. Let's see. Don't know who wrote this one, but let's get right on into it. The forestry and pulp paper production is now one of the largest and most lucrative industries in the world, with an estimated value of the world's timber harvest annually of $400 billion. Unfortunately for the planet and its living creatures, corporate greed and unsustainable forestry practices have caused massive deforestation and devastation to the planet's biodiversity and carrying capacity. Confronted with rapidly accelerating environmental damage and species extinction, and now undeniable global climate disruption, a growing segment of the public have become alarmed and concerned. That's us. As a consequence of the large transnational timber and paper corporations such as International Paper, Weyerhaeuser, Boise Cascade, UPM Kymen, formerly Champion International, and Mitsubishi, along with the oil, auto, and utilities industries, find themselves under increasing public scrutiny and pressure. Sensing a major business opportunity, and the gene giants have sat down and begun negotiating with the world's largest timber and paper companies, as well as other major greenhouse gas and climate disruption culprits, the oil, auto, and utilities companies, and have come up with a, quote, final solution, unquote, plant billions of fast-growing herbicide-resistant, fiber-altered, genetically engineered trees on tree plantations all over the globe. This way, transnational corporations will be able to produce more timber and paper for the voracious global market without changing current forestry or paper industry practices, soak up some of the climate-disrupting CO2 greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. Faster-growing trees on vast tree plantations will soak up more CO2, and reduce toxic pollution in the paper industry. Down the road, the biotech lobby also promises pest-resistant fruit trees and even tastier and more nutritious fruit. While all this may sound rather nifty at first, until you start to think about some of the downsides of gambling with the future of our trees, of tampering with the genetic structure and life cycle of the world's forests. For example, genetically engineered tree plantations will replace biologically diverse forests with fast-growing herbicide-resistant identical trees planted in even rows with no competing plants growing underneath them. Native forests will be logged and replaced by corporate tree plantations even faster than they are now, since genetically engineered trees will grow much faster and will be able to be sprayed with world record amounts of toxic herbicides such as Monsanto's Roundup or glyphosate. Secondly, trees produce enormous amounts of pollen, which can travel up to hundreds of miles. Trees also distribute their genetic material through seed dispersal, regeneration from roots, runners, and suckers, not to mention horizontal gene transfer to fungus, bacteria, and viruses. Normal trees will inevitably cross with genetically engineered mutants and become herbicide-resistant, fiber-altered, or BT splice trees, creating super trees to cut out natural forests. This, in turn, will kill off beneficial insects, decrease the food available for wildlife, and force tree pests into adjacent natural forest areas where they will wreak havoc. Third, fast-growing genetically engineered trees, which can grow more than 3 feet a month and can be harvested in 4 years, use up tremendous quantities of water and will kill off other trees and plants by depleting the water tables. In addition, the leaves from BT spliced trees will create toxic soil conditions, undermining the entire soil food web and natural systems of composting on the forest floor. Fifth, scientists warn that enormous quantities of pollen generated by BT splice and other genetically engineered trees will likely cause major allergic reactions in humans. I don't know if you get hay fever, but if you do, this may be the ultimate bummer. Sixth, genetically engineered trees patented by Dow, Novartis, and other companies altered to produce less lignin, the substance in the cell walls of trees and plants which makes them stand strong and stiff, will cross-pollinate with other trees and organisms and cause major alterations in the forest ecosystem. Seventh, timber and paper corporations promoting low lignin trees say the pulp paper processing will be able to use less chlorine and toxic chemicals in dealing with genetically engineered trees, obscuring the fact that they are already commercially viable non-timber low lignin plants that we should be using to produce paper products such as hemp, canaf, and residues from food crops instead of trees. Turning to low lignin genetically engineered trees will also cover up the fact that paper and pulp companies are deliberately poisoning the environment by refusing to upgrade their mills to new technology, which could enable them to avoid using chlorine and other toxic chemicals and then discharging their dioxin-laden waste into the air and water. Eighth, genetically engineered companies are planning to use Terminator or Terminator-like technologies to produce genetically engineered trees which are sterile, thereby not only making them grow faster, but also giving them a monopoly over their patented gene-altered tree varieties. Given the imprecision of gene splicing, the intricate, little-understood, and long-term evolution of trees in relationship to changing climatic conditions, and the inherent instability of the genome of genetically engineered trees, these Terminator traits will invariably contaminate normal trees all over the world. As one British newspaper, the Daily Telegraph, put it, quote, Terminator trees, the genetically engineered never to flower, could ensure a silent spring in the forests of the future. Such trees will grow faster than before, but will be devoid of bees, butterflies, moths, birds, and squirrels, which depend on pollen, seed, and nectar, unquote. If all this sounds less than reassuring, how about herbicide-resistant genetically engineered grass for lawns and golf courses, a new product line being readied for mass commercialization in the United States, also in designer colors. If you don't like green, you might want blue or pink or orange grass. You want more information? Check out www.purefood.org/patent/graph.cfm. That's www.purefood.org/patent/grass.cfm. And that's our editorial comment for today. Moving right into news, let's talk about another apparent victory. Wall Street Journal notes success of activist market campaigns in forest certification. Forest activists' efforts to convince major retailers to phase out old growth and other wood from endangered forests and to instead stock wood from forests certified under the Forest Stewardship Council system made headlines in the September 26th issue of the Wall Street Journal. Along with Home Depot, Wix, Anderson Windows, and other retailers that sell over 20% of the wood used for home improvement have vowed to help protect endangered forests. According to the Wall Street Journal, quote, industry executives say the movement is quickly reaching critical mass and could soon make it a liability for wood products producers not to have the Forest Stewardship Council imprimatur. And unlike industry greenwashing scams, the FSC's certification system uses independent forest management standards that include key environmental goals, third-party certifiers, a chain of custody and monitoring, and a democratic membership that includes social and environmental interests. There's also an effort underway to improve and strengthen FSC's standards so you can get involved in. For more information on the Forest Stewardship Council or competing industry efforts, see www.americanlands.org/forestweb-sfi.htm. That's www.americanlands.org/forestweb/sfi.htm, or contact American Lands at 503-978-0511. That's 503-978-0511. Or you can try there, send them email at WAFCFBP. That's WAFCFBP@teleport.com. And a tree sit delays California timber harvest from Graniteville, California. A seven-day tree sit by the Yuba Nation has staved off Sierra Pacific Industries' logging of two old-growth fir trees marked for cutting within the 2,000-acre Marsh Mill timber harvest plan near Graniteville. Protesters declared victory as the loggers dispersed and all equipment was removed from the sites. The towns of Washington and Graniteville showed great interest and support for the activists' actions, offering food and friendship and building alliances with the forest defenders. The Yuba Nation will hold a victory this Saturday at the Marsh Hill tree site at noon. If you know where that is, you can get up there. I don't have any contact information. But anyway, that's this Saturday at the Marsh Hill tree sit site. Victory party. And here's something that happens in the movement every once in a while. It's not fun, but you ought to know that it happens. Justin Samuel betrays fellow activist from Madison, Wisconsin. We read, Despite assurances from his mother and strong support from his fellow activists, Justin Samuel entered into a plea agreement with the U.S. Attorney's Office in which he implicated Peter Young, his co-defendant, and promised to, quote, make a full, complete, and truthful statement regarding his involvement in violations of federal criminal statutes charged in the original indictment, as well as the involvement of all other individuals known to him regarding the crimes charged in that indictment, and the defendant agrees to testify fully and truthfully in any trials and hearings. Unfortunately, ALF's Justin's change of heart and decision to turn on his friends comes as a shock to us all. Not long ago, Justin said, quote, what really gives me strength is to see people continuing to follow their hearts, not deterred by fear or consumed by anger when any one of us is subjected to a small piece of the injustice this world has to offer. Unfortunately, it is not only Justin who will pay the price for his fears, but Peter Young and any other activist Justin chooses to name in order to protect himself. Here's the background on this case. October 1997, Animal Liberation Front released several thousand mink imprisoned in five fur farms in South Dakota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. And in September 1998, the grand jury set up to investigate these raids indicted Justin and Peter Young on little factual evidence, charging them with animal enterprise, terrorism, and unlawful interference with state commerce. Despite the grand jury investigation and indictments, the attorney's office was lacking two things, their suspects. Neither man could be found in order to serve the indictments. For nearly 2 years, nothing was seen of either Peter or Justin. Then on the 4th of September, a year ago, news came that Justin had been arrested in Hasselt, Belgium. At this time, Peter Young remains at large. Hopefully this will all be over soon. Action Alert! The Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources in Canada is seeking to enact new legislation which will endorse massive new clear cuts as large as 10,000 hectares each. That's the size of 20,000 football fields, arguing that forest fires can reach this size, too. We're starting to hear this. This is being done on the false justification that clear-cutting is an ecological disturbance emulating the effects of forest fire disturbances. While they may look similar to the untrained eye, there are vast differences in the amount of trees retained, soil compaction, nutrient recycling, and the type of regeneration likely to occur, to name but a few. Ontario's boreal forest region is globally significant, and thus the Ontario government has an international responsibility to protect one of the world's last remaining large, intact, pristine forests. Please take some time to write a letter to the Harris government. Stress that boreal wildlife species such as Ontario's forest woodland caribou require continuous and contiguous old-growth wilderness areas. There is no alternative to protection of their habitat, and this will require that the amount of logging fall to accommodate protection and be done in an ecologically benign fashion. Comments will be considered as part of the decision-making by the ministry if, quote, they are submitted in writing. They reference the EBR registry number, and here it is. Please copy this down. EBR number PB00E70043. Let me repeat that. You must reference this number, EBR number PB00E70043, and if they are received by the comment person before November 28th. Please send your comments to John McNichol, Wildlife Specialist, MNR Center for Northern Forest Ecosystem Research, 955 Oliver Road, Thunder Bay, Ontario, P7B5E1. Let me read that again. John McNichol, Wildlife Specialist, MNR Center, 955 Oliver Road, Thunder Bay, Ontario, P7B5E1. And if you have any questions, you can give them a call at 807-343-4002. That's 807-343-4002. If you want to fax your comments, their fax number is 807-343-4001. And you can send email to john.mcnicol, john.mcnicol, at mnr.gov.on.ca. So get your letter out today. And let's moving on to a dolphin action alert here. A dolphin researcher in Hawaii is planning to bring four dolphins taken from the Atlantic and display them in a tank at a Maui Hawaiian shopping center. Comments are needed from concerned people. Get the full story at www.free-dolphin.org. That's free-dolphin, L-P-H-I-N.org. Please take a minute to voice your strong opposition to holding dolphins captive in a shopping mall. Here's the address. Write letters to the Maui County Council, 200 South High Street, Wailuku, Hawaii, 96793. Once again, that's the Maui County Council, 200 South High Street, Wailuku, that's W-A-I-L-U-K-U, Hawaii, 96793. You can also send them email at council@county.council@co.maui.hi.us, or you can send a fax to 808-270-7686. That's 808-270-7686. Be sure to include in your message that holding sentient and highly social animals like dolphins is immoral. It makes you less likely to want to visit Maui, and that the Dolphin Institute, which has been stealing dolphins from the wild and experimenting on them for decades now, is a notorious organization that has been cited on numerous occasions for violations of the Animal Welfare Act. So get that letter out. Here's another letter you might want to write. Send comments on the reclassification of the gray wolf. On July 13th, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service published a proposal to take the gray wolf off the endangered species list. Fish and Wildlife Service says that increases in gray wolf numbers, expansion of the species occupied range, and progress toward achieving the reclassification and delisting criteria of several approved gray wolf recovery plans show the species' current classification is no longer appropriate throughout most of its range. Send mail or other comments opposing the reclassification of the gray wolf off the endangered species to Content Analysis Enterprise Team. That's Content Analysis Enterprise Team, Wolf Comments, 200 East Broadway, P.O. Box 7669, Room 301, Missoula, Montana, 59807. I think they make these addresses complicated to make sure that you won't write, but here, write it down very carefully. Content Analysis Enterprise Team, Wolf Comments, 200 East Broadway, P.O. Box 7669, Room 301, Missoula, Montana, 59807. You can also submit comments to graywolfcomments@fws.gov. That's graywolfcomments, all one word, at fws.gov. The subject line of all electronic mail submissions must read Wolf Comments, or you could fax your comments to 406-329-3021. That's 406-329-3021. And, of course, you must say Wolf Comments on there. Must include the name of the submitter to be considered in the final decision, and your comments must be received by November 13th. If you want to attend a public hearing, go to midwest.fws.gov/wolf. That's Midwest. There's no W's in this URL. This is midwest.fws.gov/wolf/. And you can find out about the complete proposal and the date and location of hearings near you. And more letters to write. Support the Owyhee Brunel Canyonlands National Monument. Please write to President Clinton Al Gore, Secretary of Interior Bruce Babbitt, in support of a campaign to designate the Owyhee, that's O-W-Y-H-E-E, Brunel, B-R-U-N-E-A-U, Canyonlands National Monument. I'll give you the phone numbers in a minute. The Owyhee Brunel Canyonlands of Idaho consist of deep, shear-walled canyons, high mountains, and vast areas of open sagebrush and grassland plateaus that support over 95 species of wildlife. This is the Big West, folks, where the sky is nearly endless and only hawks break the solitude. It is home to rare fish, wildlife, plant species, 700,000 acres of potential wilderness, 288 miles of wild and scenic rivers, world's largest herd of California bighorn sheep, 6,000 pronghorn animals, 7 species of bats, sage grouse, songbirds, red-band trout, long-nosed snakes, pygmy rabbits, unique geologic features, innumerable archaeological and historical sites, and a homesteader's cabin remaining on the east fork of the Owyhee. Only by preserving the Owyhee Brunel Canyonlands as a national monument will off-road vehicle abuse be limited, vandalism of archaeological and historical sites stopped, grazing be limited, and mining be halted. Paradise is at risk. You want more information, go to www.owyheecanyonlands.org. That's www.owyheecanyonlands.org. And that's all one word there. All right, here's the Secretary of the Interior, Bruce Babbitt. His fax number, 202-208-6956. That's 202-208-6956. President Clinton at president@whitehouse.gov. It's always refreshing to send an email to the president. I'm sure he reads every one. president@whitehouse.gov. Or his fax number, he might read that, 202-456-2710. It's 202-456-2710. Or toll-free during the day, 888-750-4897. And, of course, there's Vice President Al Gore, who probably isn't at the White House, but his fax number is 202-456-7044. And finally, a letter protesting hunting with dogs in Scotland. The Protection of Wild Mammals Bill began its legislative passage a year ago. It needs your support now. The Protection of Wild Mammals in Scotland Bill would outlaw hunts, mounted or otherwise, which employ dogs to pursue, attack, and kill wild mammals, hare coursing, mink hunting, and the use of terriers to attack wild mammals underground. Send your letter to the Clerk, Rural Affairs Committee, Protection of Wild Animals Scotland Bill, Room 201, Committee Chambers, the Scottish Parliament, Edinburgh, EH99-1SP. Once again, that's the Clerk, Rural Affairs Committee, Protection of Wild Mammals, Scotland Bill. Room 201, Committee Chambers, the Scottish Parliament, Edinburgh, EH99-1SP. Or email to wild.mammals@scottish.parliament.uk. Once again, that's wild.mammals@scottish.parliament.uk. Do it today. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for news here on Earth First Radio. To get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, please send us email. Our email address is cruzeif@cruzeio.com. That's cruzeif@cruzeio.com. Or you can send letters to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Once again, that's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And please be sure to send any and all announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. If you want more in-depth news and information about the Earth First movement, please subscribe to the Earth First Journal. Their address, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. And coming up is the 20th anniversary issue of the Earth First Journal, so now's the best time to subscribe. Do it today. And you can listen to Earth First Radio live on your computer every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Go to the website www.microradio.net/FRSC and download the player, then listen in. That's www.microradio.net/FRSC. There are lots of great shows on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Anytime you want to listen, you can always find Earth First Radio archive shows on the World Wide Web. Those shows are at www.radioforall.net. That's www.radio4all.net. Any MP3 player can play those files, or you can download the player for free on the website. Earth First Radio is carried on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations, some of which have been busted in the last few days. Please ask your local station to broadcast Earth First Radio. Earth First Radio is produced in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, and portions of this newscast were prepared with the help of Stefan and Eon. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney off the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis. I want to thank you for listening to Earth First Radio. And now we're going to listen to some poetry by Gnome. This one's called The Roots of Woo Woo.
What are you calling it?
What's that? The what? Roots of Woo Woo.
The Roots of Woo Woo. This is how we got woo.
But it's all scattered, and Gene Crawford corrected my historical inaccuracies. But this part I got right, so I'll read it.
Okay.
It goes like this. At a long ago rendezvous, back in 1983, Bill Duvall was leading new workshops. He called Deep Ecology. He taught instinct over logic is our new way of seeing, and praised the intrinsic value of all life and being. There is wisdom in his teachings and truth on his breath. There is only one problem. Duvall could bore us to death. To the wild is more than an academic study. What's there to do with this collegiate fuddy-duddy? Renewed religion is real as the rivers and stones to take us out of our intellects and into our bones.
Yeah.
A new spirituality to break free of our tethers when over the horizon came a man. What a man. In a loincloth and feathers. He wore turquoise beads and an old buckskin vest and a long Viking mustache that hung to his chest. He called himself Lone Wolf Circles, such an elegant name, and said he contained a wolf spirit no one could tame. Well, the movement needed a visionary and needed a drummer. Way, way back when, on that long ago summer, when the rally got going, Wolf jumped at the chance. On that sacred moment, Wolf was known to get Bill Duvall to dance. So then it blabs on with my historical inaccuracies, and Foreman tells Wolf to proselytize everything, and Wolf does his first road up, with a rhinestone cowboy in California. He called himself Dakota Sid. Wolf preached to hippies and pagans and heathens of every conceivable kind. This wasn't the outreach Dave Foreman had in mind. We could feel our mouths growing fangs and our backs getting hairy. And Wolf was a poet without non-genderic vocabulary. He pounded ceremonial beats and sounded tribal horns. There were candles and pentacles and even unicorns. Dakota Sid was off his Prozac, and it all got too wacky. Enough to make a redneck choking his tobacco. Sid stuttered so hard he couldn't get the words through. I've been here. I've been there. But I ain't never seen none of this. Wah, 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 wah. Woo, woo. Then woo, woo was coined by this guitar strumming gringo and became a sacred word in the New Earth First lingo. Then it goes on to my historical inaccuracy.
You have to tell us.